Lime, duh.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa. Woo. Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians and they shake the wrestling to an unhealthy degree.
I'm not changing my lifestyle. I'm four or five women
every day of my life. I'm Dan Black. What am I saying? I completely forgot how this goes. This is bound to happen. Wait. This is staying in. I'm your host. The host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling.
This is hot.
Come on. Dan Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling. Clap for myself. Donnie Wrestling.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
A.k.a. the modern day goof. Raja.
Thanks for nothing. You're dismissed. Bye-bye.
Shit. I'm so off. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gabba wee.
Gabba wee.
Gabba wee, yeah. This girl, she's mine. And damn, she's fine. Wow. That is called not your best work. You know, listen. All right, before we get into it, let me just get him on the line here so we can just discuss what just happened. That was a definitive shock to the system. Wow. Okay. So look, with me here, not in studio, from across the country in Jabroni Town, the king of Long Island himself, Mr. Nick Too Terrible, aka, well, used to be Terrible Too Low. What is up?
Oh, man.
Dude.
We got it.
Should I restart the pod?
Dude, I don't know, man. I don't. Wow, that was something, dude. And the best part is I can't hear the drops. So it is just so all over the place. I'm thinking you're doing drops. I can't hear the drops. I don't know what's going on. And then you just start losing it. Holy motherfucking shit.
Just for our new listeners, that intro is not that much better than that most weeks, I will say. But hey, guys, before we talk about all things wrestling, I mean, I'm probably just so fired up from the amp, from this insane... This is the same world we're living in right now of pro wrestling, I'm tongue-tied. Maybe I'm tongue-twisted. Maybe I'm numb. Maybe who knows? Who could know? Maybe I'm stunned. Maybe, you know what I mean?
Maybe you hear voices in your head.
Maybe I hear voices in my head. They talk to me, and they are my friend. I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? Or maybe I accidentally didn't go to my house. I accidentally pulled up to the Firefly Funhouse.
Maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe it's all just a figment of your imagination.
Oh, there, Jamie Lee, my wife, popping in. Jamie, you have anything to say?
Wow. Hi.
Hey.
You want to give him a gobble wee?
Gobble wee.
All right. Wow. Way to kick it off, everybody here. Okay, look, before we get into all the spiciness, because
that's a hell of a start.
It's a hell of a start. Then we might still start over. The verdict's out. But if you want to support this show, you can see we need support. Go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Remember, you get access to our bonus episodes. And the way we're doing the show is our normal episode covering, and listen, I'm glad we structured it this way, because I don't know how we're gonna get through everything. I mean, the wrestling world is insane right now. It's on fire. It's fucking amazing. It's as amazing as we expected it to be. It's great. But essentially, The main episode, which will cover Raw and SmackDown, and also just blend everything kind of together. Our main episode will come out on Wednesday on your way to work. Okay, this that'll start next week. Okay, but our bonus Patreon episode, which will cover AEW Dynamite and NXT, the show on Wednesday, NXT and NXT. What would it be? NXT be? Dolomite, NXT NXT Titanium. Wow, I'm off today. I promise you, I'm hilarious. I swear to fucking God, I'm funny. Okay,
I'm gonna keep drinking this coffee over here.
Yeah, that'll be covered. That'll come on Friday mornings on your way to the hoagie shop, on your way into work. That's on Patreon. $5 a month. That's all you got to pay. And you get access to our bonus episodes where we will cover the fucking world of AEW. But it will blend into this stuff too. So don't flip out, okay? Also, remember the cheapest way to support this pod, give us fucking 5 stars. A lot of you jabronis just taking this pod for granted. And you know what? I'll Thanos this shit tomorrow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And spread the word of the podcast as wrestling is growing. We are growing. It's dope. And but we are, you know, I always say we are more than anything word of mouth. We're not part of a big network that tells us how long our pod should be, when pods should go up. We can change it and adjust because we have that kind of freedom, and that's from your support. So help the podcast grow. Go to patreon.com/comedians of wrestling and you can help help it out. Also, you can pick us at our merch, prowrestlingtees.com/comedians of wrestling. I don't plug that much because the kickback is so small. But hey, if you need a dish,
yeah, but it's free advertising though. Absolutely. And then people go to shows, absolutely, and post pictures. It all ends up working out. Mm.
Anyway, dude. Remind me at some point in this podcast to talk about my. Well, I mean, what are the corners we have now? We're talking about the non-wrestling wrestling corner. Okay. Okay. So anyway, we've coming off right now this podcast. We're going to talk about, I mean, SmackDown live on Fox.
Unbelievable. I have it on right now in the background.
But I will say that show had The Rock on it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
The show was top notch. There's so much to say about how fucking great it is. It is not the first thing that I want to talk about. No, which is unbelievable. Which is actually unbelievable. The thing I want to talk about is Hell in a Cell finish. Seth Rollins versus The Fiend. I think we have to lead on it. We have to lead with it. Because this thing blew my fucking mind. So many thoughts on it. And I don't know how to even prioritize them because they're so important. But let me tell you. The first thing we got to say, we always have to take a step back and remember that we're watching a television show, okay?
Yes.
And that not only are we watching a television show, we're watching professional wrestling, which is designed to get you talking. And sometimes that's through frustration. Sometimes that's through bad. Just bad, right? Mm-hmm. And there is always a part of this, and I think it's more for pro wrestling than anything else, right? Because like the Game of Thrones ending, I just want to jump there for a sec, right? That was bad.
The best way. Yeah.
That was bad, right? But that also was bad at the expense of, like, there was no positive from that. I don't think somebody was like, "Oh, I'm gonna turn." No. When you end a show poorly, that makes people who would watch it down the line not even tune in, right? Like, so my wife never watched Game of Thrones. She was like, "I heard it ended like shit, so now I don't have to watch it." You know what I'm saying? So actually on TV shows, there's actually a negative thing about wrestling is that it never ends.
No, never.
It never ends. So they have the opportunity to write it into some kind of brilliant thing where they call back later. Oh, so actually it should affect how you see moments in wrestling, but it seems like everybody gets so worked by it where they forget that wrestling, they have such freedom to make stuff work, you know? And that's always my first thought. So when I see attention, I think, that's a great success for the company. The fact that everyone was talking about this, I was getting texts from many people about the ending of Hell in a Cell, more than Fox, SmackDown and Fox. Now, you can make the argument that some of our listeners, two listeners that we had posted, had one Semitic superstar, Jacob Levitt, and my buddy Sammy, he had texted me, said they both had canceled the network because of this finish. Okay.
That's wow. Yeah. I mean,
so my thought is like, okay. And then before we even get into the creative of the actual finish and the thought and my thoughts on it is look, canceling the network is a tough go because there's no chance that's permanent, right?
I mean,
like, are you going to we do have a competitor now, right? And I haven't seen AEW tonight yet, but I know you watched, and from what I'm hearing, they're doing a nice job of being an alternative, you know?
It was insane, dude. It was really good. We won't get into details, but I'll just let you know.
Well, we're going to talk about it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know.
On the Patreon app.
What a second episode. And you know what? It's not just that, NXT 2. Wednesday night is the coolest shit ever. And now we get to go back and relive our misery and everybody else's misery. So let's talk about it.
You're not going to, like, so basically what you're saying, so let's say at the most conservative, that means that you're going to cancel it until Mania. You'll sign back up for Mania. Who are you for?
Yeah,
like?
Most.
It's we're talking at like $60. So for them to do something that gets people talking, is that worth $60 a person? I don't know. I would have to ask some kind of businessman for this kind of assessment. But yeah, I think ultimately, I think the common fan, most fan, the average fan is going to, it's going to, the reaction to that is, I got to see what happens on Monday.
It's so true.
Right? So I think ultimately this was a win. Now, not to mention, they did some things that I think are terrible, and I know you're going to have some disagreement on some stuff, and I really want to get into it, and we're going to find time to get into it, because I actually think
I would like to say, Dan, and I think it's a good, like, this is a good speaking point to have before we get into it, is that I'm really excited to dissect this, and I'm really excited to actually voice my opinion on this, because I think how I come off as a fan is I'm a WWE guy. I defend WWE to the tooth and nail. I'm like, I'll defend it to the end of the world.
Right.
It will never be bad in my eyes. And that's not really it. Like, I enjoy all wrestling, and I support it and defend it because I really think it's really incredible. But when I take a step back from all of it, I realize I love it so much because it's something I loved as being a kid, you know?
Right.
And now I'm still enjoying it as an adult, which not many things translate over this period of time for you to go from loving it as a kid to now. So when I see people like getting really, really upset about this, I'm like, wow, that's crazy that you could be this upset about something you hold so true and dear to your heart. So, like, let's get into it. Let's dissect it, because there's so many levels to this.
Right.
It's like never ending, you know, like it can go so many different ways.
My thing is that I applaud them for trying something cool. Now,
that is not
mutually exclusive from the fact that you have two ways of looking at this, the mark or the smart route, right?
Right.
You can look at it like, wow, they really backed themselves into a corner and had to figure something out, right?
Right. Yep.
And there is a definitive element of truth to that, right?
Yes.
My guess is how this went down. How this went down was Vince was like, all right, let's book that match because that'll be cool in a cell. And then he didn't know what the finish should be. And then the day of, they're like, what do we do? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's my guess how this went down, right? I don't know for sure. So you are correct in thinking like, oh, wow, like there's not enough thought for what's going on here, right?
Right.
So there's thought there. But at the same time, this match was completely – hold on one second.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That was my wife just telling me she ordered Roscoe's chicken and waffles. Okay.
Wow,
anyway.
That's fucking incredible. Holy shit. That's my favorite fucking meal in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And now everyone knows. And then she sent me a dinosaur emoji with its head exploding. Anyway, guys, can we cut that out? No? We don't have
Okay.
No, we can't cut that out. We can't cut that out. Well, listen, if you want stuff like that cut out, head over to patreon.com/media wrestling. But what I'm saying is that ultimately, what they did was something completely new and really fucking cool in a lot of ways. Now, yes. Here's the thing about it. I don't know where to begin on it. I don't know what's the most important, really, when you break it down. So we're just going to, you know. But okay, let's talk about just the feeling of watching this match. First off, the red light was so fucking dope.
I couldn't have loved it anymore. Like, and I can understand why it can bother some people.
Did that bother somebody? Because I heard no one talk about that.
I know there was a lot of people that were like not into it. They thought it was stupid. They couldn't believe they had to watch the red light. To me,
why? Like, that I actually think there's no argument for that. The Fiend character is something that we've never seen, that they're trying stuff. And also, okay, let's say there is something you've seen. It's in the ilk of like Kane and Undertaker. We try that stuff. Now, I'm someone who I thought the House of Horrors match was cool. I love that. I thought that was really cool, especially because how many regular wrestling matches do we have to have? We can't try other things. Tell me there's no creative space for this stuff. Get the fuck out of here. I mean, I don't understand wrestling fans are some of the most like rigid minded people. Some of them, I'm like, why don't you just go watch sports? There's tons of sports out there where literally they just, it's the same fucking bullshit every single time, same sport. The rules are the same every time.
Yeah.
Why
like,
would,
and you have to understand that, like, I'm really, truly, honestly believe that I could say like 95% of that match was all Bray's idea. You know, like,
so, yeah,
you know, let's do the red lighting. This is how it's going to go down. I want Seth to try and kill me. Like, you know, how can we make it work? Like, the thing that really gets me is I don't get what people were expecting was going to happen. We all knew that, you know, they're going into this draft and, you know, could Bray be champion? Sure, I guess. But could they take the title?
No, he couldn't. No, really. He could not be champion.
They had to come up with some kind of way to schmoz this up and end it. Did they do it the right way? No, probably not. But I remember saying it very clearly. Like, they're going to find a way for Bray to walk out of there without winning the title, but still looking strong. But the problem was that the way they went about it made Seth's finishers look like shit. And Bray looked weak. But then in the end, he comes back to life. And what is, you know, and then all this stuff.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I know, but I'm saying here's the deal. So what I'm saying, I want to break it down by piece. All right, watching the match live, I love the red light. I don't understand. I love the projections at 33. I was there live. They shocked me. I thought they were really cool, that match stuff. Yeah. But I'm like all about Bray Wyatt trying stuff. Why is it okay for the Undertaker but no other wrestler? I don't understand. Okay, I think it's really cool, and I can continue like keep burning down houses, keep buying local houses near the arena and destroying them. Please, WWE. I love it. Yeah. Okay. Yes. That's great. That's stuff I like. But watching it, okay. Watching the match, I thought it was really cool. I thought Seth looked awesome in the red light.
Oh,
I thought that the Fiend looked legitimately scary, which we talk about. I think
so good.
That
I think
the mallet
is
actually like, it's so fucking perfect. It's just like, oh, he's Pennywise. He's right from a horror film. It's amazing, and it really works. And Bray's wrestling style completely complements it. I love that. Particularly, I love that headbutt. So much working. Here's the thing. When Seth started stomping in that match,
oh, my God.
I started to boo. That's the truth. Yeah. Is that the audience started to boo, and I didn't. I naturally was like, fuck this. I really was like, fuck this. They're just going to. And we had just seen Seth stomp Braun Strowman like 40 times, right?
Yep.
So
And Brock.
The curb stomp is dead. That is dead. True. The curb stomp, I mean, like, look.
I kind of like the, so the only, here, this is me defending
it. And I just want one thing. Nothing is ever dead because wrestling never ends. That's what you guys have to remember. They can milk, they can bring the curb stomp back. But just like, look at the difference in AEW right now, what Jericho is doing with the Judas effect and the stomp. Like, it is cool that you know when Jericho hits that weak-ass elbow, no one's getting up from it.
No, everybody's dead.
What were you saying?
Well, the only reason why, I mean, they did too many, but what I liked how they told it was they went through like, they went through like this poetic story of like he had a, you know, he it took four stomps to beat, you know, Braun Strowman or whatever. Right. So he figured, I got to use this against Bright. And he did it. And then it worked. And he's like, fuck, I got to use like eight of them. And he did it. And then it worked.
And then
he hit him with a pedigree. Right. And there's like this poetic story. And I'll give like Tony Shade a little credit for this too, is because we came up with it kind of together. But there's like this poetic story of him not becoming Triple H. You know, like he doesn't want to be Triple H. You know, it's like, but he uses the pedigree and that doesn't work. And then he has to go for the fucking sledgehammer. And he knows that if he uses the sledgehammer, he's going to become everything that he's trying not to be. He's trying to be this face. And then he uses it and he's just pushed to his limits and beyond comprehension. So like,
okay. So you just brought up my next point,
right?
You just hit on my next point. And again, I don't know what order these go in, but
no, just keep going.
Let's go. Oh, good. Yep. Probably good, bad is the way to do it is you saw, first off, we saw some of our best acting out of Seth Rollins as a face.
Oh my, right? So good.
We saw him conflicted and successfully. What I said, what they needed from this match and what Seth Rollins needed as a character was his Joker, was his foil. And if we walked out of this match setting up a feud of Rollins is fucking scared of the Fiend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we've had a success. And right now we actually have a successful Batman Joker story happening in WWE. Believable that Seth gave in and went too far. He pushed him. And then when you see the fact that it didn't actually even hurt Bray that much, it makes it even worse. It's like, I did all that for nothing.
Right. And that's what I thought was, that's where they just missed it. If they would have just had Seth really snap and be like, I got to get the hell out of here. And he like ran to the cage and you're like begging to get out. And then he found like bolt cutters and then climbed to the top of the cage, the cell, did something where he really snapped like and escaped, you know, and ran off into the fucking dark. And we don't see Seth and the Universal Champion's missing for like 2 weeks. He doesn't show up to the draft. They could have really sold that angle of it, you know, like.
So it's tough because you don't want to make him. It's almost better if they could have sold it that truly like Joker or Batman. Like, so let's break down the movie Dark Knight, right? So that happens is Joker literally standing in the middle of the street. This scene gives me goosebumps to talk about. It is one of my favorite scenes in this history of cinema. Is Joker stands in the middle of the street. He's just takes out a knife. That's all he has.
Yeah.
And he just says, hit me. He's just like,
hit me.
He's like, yo, and he's like, I'm not going to move. Just hit me with the bike. Do it. Break your own rule. I'll show you that you are full of shit. You're just as bad as me. You're another guy fighting in a cage. Sorry, bro. You have no moral compass over me. Nothing. Right? And this is the version of that if Batman hit him with the bike.
It's right.
And it didn't do anything. It made him stronger. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So ultimately, you do have something that's really cool. Here is the problem. The problem is that this is Bray Wyatt's second match as the Fiend. He has not been booked strong enough that taking him down felt like anything other than he's jobbing. Like he's not had a strong run.
The problem was is that they leaked it. They were showing it at those house shows. If they don't show Seth doing all those stomps, right?
Right.
And Bray getting up from him and coming back, and we get totally surprised by that. Where that ending might probably gets a different kind of reaction. Like, holy shit, he can't kill Bray. What the fuck is he gonna do? You know. But everybody knew that Bray was this guy that, you know, we already saw it.
Right, but we didn't. This match didn't even sell the Fiend strong enough, even in the match. Like, it had some good spots, but like he pulls out the mallet, and then the mallet spot goes. It's the first time we've seen the mallet in a match. That spot is in Rollins' favor. He hits him with it, and then he slams his face like on the mallet or whatever.
He
stomps him on it. Right. It's like they made it like there have Fiend be more of a nuisance than an actual powerhouse. Now, that is cool because it might be like that is what he is. He is the Joker of WWE, which is what I always wanted from Bray Wyatt. I mean, go back on this podcast, which Christopher Albright is doing. Maybe you can find that clip of me where I'm always like pitching how Bray Wyatt should be like a cancer of the WWE. You know what I mean? That never came to fruition. But I just think, like, not only do we not see enough Fiend wrestling to see that, like, he's strong and this just happened to be, like, Seth got him. I don't even remember. I rewatched it. I don't remember how the whole stomp scenario started. Like, it felt pretty out of nowhere. He just got him. He's no problem.
He, like, super kicked him, like, a bunch of times, and then he just got him. Stomp on.
So it's like the Fiend is, like, just pretty, seems pretty easily beatable.
Yeah, but then some of the times the Fiend kicked out at one, and they're like, no-selled it. Like,
well, let's talk about the no-sell. So no-selling, I mean, it's not a problem in wrestling. Like, it's weird. It definitely felt weird. It feels weird.
It was just all over the place.
Right.
Like, and you know what? I think that's what I kind of liked about it. Because here's another huge element to me in the watching experience. And I think this is important to bring up, was that I didn't watch it live. I don't want to say it, you'll yell at me, but I was at a hockey game. And
that's disgusting.
Well, let me tell you why. I was actually suffering some wrestling fatigue from all the wrestling that went on that week.
I mean, that's something we should kind of talk about.
I was like, you know what? I don't mind missing. I'm just going to turn my notifications off. I'm not going to get spoiled.
Right.
And I get a text from Erin, and she's like, I had to shut down the thread. Like, things got out of control. I'm like, what the hell happened? Now I have all this stuff on my mind. What the hell happened in this match that the world is rioting, like, on WWE and protesting WWE.
What happened on the thread? By the way, you can join our Facebook group, Comedians of Wrestling Facebook group. If you're not on there, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know what you're doing. So this probably won't be the best promotion of it ever, but, like, things got a little out of control. People started getting...
Well, to be honest, the Fiend character is, like, our really, like, civil group. Got it. Like, he turned things on his head. Like, it's fucking cool.
And the element of the match, the red lights, the craziness of it. Like, we've seen this. Like, that's what
this is the Barry's Bootcamp match.
The new Joker movie is literally about that. It's about,
no spoilers.
Like,
I haven't seen it yet.
And I haven't seen it either, but it's just about inside. It's like this. I forgot what someone said it was. It was this, like, not viral, but almost like a mob mentality. Like, when everybody just gets behind something and just all at once, and everybody's like, oh my God, this sucks. And you get kind of caught up and you're like, yeah, this does suck. And then you're like, fight the system, you know? And, like, that's what was happening. And then people were trying to defend it. And then they were getting angry that people didn't like it. And it just turned into, like, a fucking war.
Well, here's
like,
the question. You know, here's the question. In wrestling, is the fan response something that the writer should care about in that way? Like, obviously, like, in some ways, obviously, yes. I mean, I'm not getting into that. But, like, the fact that wrestling fans seem to be, like, pretty rigid sometimes, where, like, if they're booing something, it might almost be a good thing, you know? Or also, it might be you're doing something new. So, I don't, you know, I mean, I can't imagine what...
You know why? Because it's such a weird time for something like that to happen, because now with AEW coming around, so, like, you know, different types of fans, they're promoting this different thing. So now when something sucks from WWE, and the motive and the narrative that's being pushed for this new company is that, you know, you've been treated like shit as fans and we're going to give you something else. And then something like this happens and then all of a sudden it catches on. Everybone's like, yeah, fuck WWE. AEW's back. And it's just like, we've never had this before.
Right.
It was just always us, you know, blindly kind of sometimes defending WWE because it's wrestling and it's awesome. But, like, now there's legit points to be made of why, like, maybe WWE is fucking thinks they can just do whatever the fuck they want and just keep getting away with it. And, you know, he starts saying this stuff. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't be defending it to, you know, like, to the T, like, for this guy, like, this stuff anymore. And, but, like you said, like, so I'm, like, watching this with all this crazy, knowing that something nuts is going on. I'm like, this is pretty wild. And all of a sudden I see the crowd turning and I'm like, what's going to happen? I don't know. I'm so freaked the fuck out by this match and what's going on that my emotions were all over the place. So I couldn't really understand. But then I'm like, holy shit. He, like, hypnotized. Bray Wyatt has done it. He's hypnotized and, like, manipulated the crowd, like, to the point where people are, like, pissed off, you know, like, to a new level. Like, this was all new. I've never seen it like this before.
Yeah, I mean, I think that. Well, you bring up a couple of my other points. I have a million points on this thing.
So many.
So, like, okay, there is, whether you liked it or not, or you have some kind of problem with it, you know what I mean? There is an undeniable next level element to what went down. It was far from perfect, but I'm watching what's going on with The Fiend for a completely different reason than I'm watching any other wrestler.
Me too, yes.
And so that's incredible. And also, again, if you didn't like how something worked, kayfabe-wise, all they had to do on Monday was open the show with Vince firing that ref. Okay? Now let's get, right? Let's talk about the no contest in a cell. The no contest in a cell.
I have the ref and explanation of what he did. So when you want me to read it? Yeah.
Where? Twitter?
He was, it says Hell in a Cell main event referee Rod Zapata. I don't know if it was a quote, an interview, or what they, right? So it says, with Bray motionless and Seth clearly doing whatever it was going to take to win that match, I had to think of the competitor's safety. And at that moment, I did what I thought was best.
Well, so then so Seth won, right?
No, because he's saying he's just stopped the match.
Yeah, like, wouldn't that just mean a submission? That's like that'd be a submission.
I think he's just saying a no contest. I don't know.
Well, like, there's no contest means somebody went into hell, and this is so here's the thing that I think is inexcusable about this match is like
that.
It's like it just doesn't make sense. Like, it's Hell in a Cell. It's like where anything can happen. Everything goes far, and then it's like, oh, no contest. And then like, there's no. If I would like this, if this story was like this ref's like throwing up, and he's like, I can't stomach it. I gotta go. You know what I'm saying? You know,
in that moment, there was really, really cool things going on. Like, I was like, what the fuck is he saying to him? And he's yelling, Seth. You don't want to do this. You really going to do this? You're going to kill this man? Is this what you want to do?
Yeah.
And
he calls him Colby.
He goes, Colby, are you really going to do this?
Like, really? He's speaking, didn't see that.
Breaking kayfabe. Like, he said, Colby, do you really want to do this?
I actually love that. I love that.
So in that moment, it's really fucking awesome.
Yeah, I actually, but I feel like Seth should win though, right? Seth should have been the winner.
Yeah, but then at that point, like, there was no outcome to this match that was going to satisfy anybody, like, at all. It was going to be something bad. Oh, look at this. Now, you know, Bray's the champion. Bray wins, right? Bray's the champion. Seth is done, you know, or Seth, of course, Seth wins. Seth always wins. Seth isn't cool. He's not a good champion. Oh, a no contest or a disqualification. Oh, another Hell in a Cell ends this way. They were just fucked. They had nothing they can do, and there's nobody to blame but WWE for it. But it could be because.
Well, how do you feel about this?
Okay.
How do you feel about this booking? He goes to do it. He's like going to hit him with that sledgehammer. The ref is like so grossed out by it. The ref jumps on the pile. Seth hits him with the fucking mallet.
Fucking Jesus Christ.
And then Seth's like, I can't believe it. Look how far he pushed me that I actually hurt an innocent man. The complete opposite of my goal. And then Seth takes bolt cutters, cuts it, and just leaves. What about that?
Yes. Anything. And
I'll say this about this. I think it's actually a really cool story that like the ref had to call it. He's like, this is just too far. I have to call it. But I have to go by my initial feeling. Is when I saw that, that didn't actually read to me. I was just like, what? A cell? Like, I've been watching cells my whole life. Like, a fucking, it's such a bad precedent to set up the cell. It kills the cell. Like, that's at the expense of the match, of the style of match.
It's the second year in a row, too, because Brock ripped off the door last year, you know? So it's like, now people are like,
yeah, what happened last year? Brock showed up. Who was in that match? That's when they were on the top, right? And like, I remember Ziggler was up there with like McIntyre. Who was in there? Oh, it was Rain Strowman, right?
Rain Strowman, yeah, for the title, I guess.
And then how did that match end?
It just ended.
It just ended, right?
Brock caused destruction.
Even that's not as bad as this, though, because at least that's like, yo, the match is like, the door came off, and then like, there's, I don't know, but it's a cell. Like, you can interfere. Man, wrestling struggles to make sense sometimes. Anyway, conceptually.
It just almost made us not be able to, like, there's just, it.
All right, so here, gun to the head. You're in the back. Would you ever approve that booking if you were Vince? And you're yourself. You know, you're not Vince. You're not crazy like Vince or whatever. Like, you know, you're yourself.
I don't even know what to do. Like, I honestly, it's like in that, you know,
Mick Foley got thrown off the top of the cell onto a table. Okay. They brought him out. They brought him out in a stretcher. He got off of the stretcher and climbed back up the cage, and the match was still going. It makes no fucking sense. It makes no sense. It's not further than that.
He's been chokeslammed through the top of it. Shane McMahon has jumped off it like 17 fucking times.
It makes no sense. So I'm saying is that like that actually, that part of it makes no sense, and it just makes no sense. It was truthfully, why not just have Seth fucking like, just walk out, or Seth wins, but he's like disgusted with himself. And then the Fiend give me like, hey, I got exactly the outcome I wanted.
Here's the other thing I thought of. What if that match led off the night, right? And that match, you know, Seth loses his mind, he escapes, or something happens where Bray like, you know, walks out, and throughout the rest of the night, they can kind of like, tell something, you know, along the, like, where's Seth? What's going on with Seth? That advance the story instead of just like ending the night that way. You know, like, it would have been interesting to see if they could have did, you know, Becky and Sasha and the main event thing. And like, you know, like, I just don't know.
All right. Well, man, I got two more points. Okay. Here's another point is the Fiend character. For a long time, WWE has had these characters. They've had this style of character, whatever, like the Kanes and the Undertakers, I don't know, the Boogeyman, whatever, you know, supernatural style characters. But they've never truly had like an actual horror villain, you know?
Right.
Maybe Foley? Like in his Mankind phase?
The original Mankind shit, I remember being freaked out by it. Like, what the fuck is this guy? This is,
right. Yeah. Right. But okay, so we can talk about that. But if I've recently, so I got into horror fairly recently, which I've said.
I hate it. I'm like terrified of it. So.
I don't do well with it either, but I have such a respect with the genre that I like it more. And I've heard some great arguments for why horror is a really important genre. Basically, like, it operates on its own. It's fans supported on their own. It's separate from like the Academy. A lot of great directors break in through horror. So it's actually a great, you know, there's a lot of, anyway.
No, I get it. I understand.
Anyway, but so recently I watched the Halloween movies. Like, I watched like four or five of them.
Wow.
And I never seen them before. But the thing is that Mike Myers, the character, is extremely beatable. He's not he's not like super strong or anything, right?
Right.
But like, so like, you can like kick him in the face a bunch, whatever. They throw him off like a balcony a bunch of times. He gets like blown up. Like, he's like a dumb motherfucker, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But he never does. Like, he never does. And like, they throw him off a balcony and like, he's down there. And then the second you look, gone. And you're like, what? He got up? What? And like, they successfully have blended that into this character. Like, he really has that trope of like, oh, he's down. Oh, he's dead. He's dead. No, he's fully fine. He's gone. Like, so they have a lot to play with him that I think is very cool.
Yes. And it's not just the scary character. You also then have the Firefly Funhouse stuff. So it's like, it's endless right now. You know, it's like, it's really, really unique and different. And I'm not ready to cancel it all or ready to ride on because of a finish at a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view that was pretty much like, you know, there, and they didn't fucking even book a card around the fucking whole entire thing, that I'm not ready to be like doubting Seth and Bray Wyatt because of this finish. Like, I'm not. I think there's still so much to tell, and it's up to WWE to actually do it. And it's really up to WWE to let Bray just do what he actually wants.
Yeah.
Because he's killed it so far. It's been a breath of fresh air to WWE. It might have even actually saved WWE. Like, it was one of the things that was Firefly Funhouse every week was one of the things that was keeping people interested and tuned in.
It was definitely the only good thing for the whole summer.
Yeah. Especially on Raw. Like, it saved Raw. Like, 3 hours, you were waiting until 10:30 at certain points to just watch a 3-minute clip of Bray in a sweater. Like, and you had no idea where it was going.
Yeah, and you can watch one point someone had made at one point, maybe it was you, is that the arena is dead silent when the Funhouse is on. They're watching the Funhouse.
Dead.
Here is another element of this. We're still talking about this.
It can honestly go on forever.
I think both wrestlers came out the better for this match. If I'm a writer for a wrestling show, I go, now everyone likes everyone's sympathetic to the Fiend. He's the evil face, you know?
Right.
And you've just solidified him more like that. Cause a great way to get a wrestler over is by fucking them over in the booking. Right.
It's actually kind of true. Yeah.
Okay. And then the next part is that Seth has been really boring. And so now Seth, as a guy who now has a foil and also has a foil that also makes him less popular, like, he's the face, but everyone likes the heel more. If they want Rollins to be in this John Cena role, which he should have over fucking Roman Reigns, who's a dud. I mean, he couldn't have a convo with the guy probably. I'm saying then he needs to be hated a little bit. That's what being the top guy is. And so now he has some controversy.
Okay, so on that point, and I think this is important, and this is what I keep coming back to, is that John Cena was able to handle all that stuff.
Okay.
He can come out to the John Cena sucks chance, and he can spin it, and he's got thick skin, and that shit doesn't affect him. I don't think that works with Seth. And, you know, like, when John Cena was coming up, you know, social media was still active, but like this culture of social media didn't exist. Now it really is amplified to the nth degree. And I don't think Seth can handle this role. And if he's able to be okay with people saying that Seth Rollins is not cool and use it to his advantage, he's got the world at his oyster. Like, he can really do something special with this. Or they're going to go into some kind of really crazy story with him and Bray, and it's going to be super fucking cool. And it might honestly save Seth. Like, because right now, as Universal Champion, has his run been successful? Like, are you into it? Up until this point?
I'm fine with it. I was more into the Kofi run, though, if you want to compare it.
Absolutely. And look what they did with that. They fucking squashed the fucking shit out of that and said,
no.
See you later, Kofi.
The problem with the Seth run, is the fact that it's like he had no feuds. I mean, remember he had that, like, dip into AJ, then his feud, then he had the angle of I'm dating Becky Lynch.
Right. He did beat Brock twice in a pretty fucking convincing fashion both times. I mean, it hasn't been memorable. It hasn't been great. And if it's going to come to him losing his mind and Bray bringing out that, like, that old Seth, like, it's all worth it. You know, like,
hey, by the way, is Survivor Series not brand versus brand anymore?
I fucking have no idea. I guess maybe we'll get more.
Because then that means we would just see Seth Rock, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, anyway. I think I think all your points are pretty good there. I would say my last point about this match was AEW chants are so dope. Like, it is so dope, man, that the fans now have an actual chant that will really get under Vince's skin.
Oh my God.
I mean,
because there is no WWE chant, you know? It's not like Raw, 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 or SmackDown, SmackDown, or WWE. WWE. No one chants that ever. They never have.
WWE's not a movement. It's
That's why you got NXT, you got AEW, but there's none of that. Like, that's where WWE is really failing. You know, like, they don't have, WWE isn't like that cult brand, you know, where people, like, when you do one thing wrong,
but they're not failing because they have NXT. It's a miracle they're able to create NXT at all.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
NXT and you treat it like it's not, like, we treat it like it's not just an arm of WWE. It's like its own cool thing.
Its own thing.
And somehow Triple H gets to pretend like he's not Triple H. You know, it's like, it's kind of amazing, actually.
But it's a huge difference in, like, crowds and stuff. Like, AEW fans are in 10,000 seat arenas all chanting AEW during cool spots, during things. It's a different vibe to be there and experience that. Like, now when something goes bad, they're not, like, booing. They're pissed off and chanting AEW at WWE shows. Like, it's fucking, that's where WWE is. Like, people are failing to identify being a WWE fan anymore. Instead, they're just invested in the wrestlers, you know? So, like, you can love, you know, fuck, I don't even know. You can love Becky Lynch. You're all, like, people are more in when a wrestler comes out and they're all behind the wrestler, but they're not really behind the totality of what WWE is anymore. Like, you know, that's huge. That's different. That's why people are going and connecting to AEW more, because AEW is a brand. The whole entire thing is there. You know, like, you're going for AEW, not just to see Cody Rhodes.
Do you have more points to make, or should we move on to Hoobastank yet? You have more to say. I think you have more to say. All right, we'll push the Hoobastank. We'll definitely get to it by the end of the episode, though. Because, by the way, this is a Hoobastank fan podcast. I just want everyone to know.
Yeah, no, I really would love to.
I'm getting a lot of emails from the Hoobastank fan base being like, you're not covering Hoobastank enough, because we haven't covered them at all, actually. We haven't at all had talked about the lead singer. We don't know his name yet, even.
All right. Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll get. Well, at the end of it, we'll talk about. Maybe sing. We'll sing off the show.
Maybe.
Okay.
Let's commit 5 minutes now to the end. We'll give him, like, at least.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. All right. Deal.
All right. Well, should I call this episode 1 hour of the Fiend talk? Let's talk about the Fiend for an hour.
I mean, you kind of have to, right? You know. And are we done? Are we good? Because we're going to transition. Because I think there's one more really.
I was going to transition, but let's do it.
Well, it's a transition into off the Fiend, but like this still, but it's like, you know, Raw didn't even fucking talk about it.
Like, well, that's what I said, is that they should have
something.
Right. And that's what it is. It's like, well, wrestling is, it never ends, and you can always, it's live show every time. So the writing is on the fly. You're always, you can change it. And just to, like, not acknowledge anything that happened there is just fucking, it's just weird. It's, I mean, this episode of Raw had nothing to it, really.
I almost had a stroke or an aneurysm when I'm like, all right, here we go. Opening promo. What's it going to be? And it's the Rusev, Lana, Lashley set. And I'm like,
you're not caught up in that.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, the most talked about thing in wrestling. Like, I mean, it's pretty, if you think about it, after that week of wrestling with AEW premiering, NXT 6 show,
it's crazy.
SmackDown thing, that at the end of the week, Sunday, that they stole all the headlines, like, at the end, by doing something really, really completely opposite. Everybody's trying to wow and impress. And what does WWE do? They say, you know, Hell in a Cell do? They just say, all right, well, we're going to just do something to piss everybody off, and then everybody's talking about, which is wild. Fucking crazy. Is wild, because then you're like, all right, well, this is gonna make Raw awesome. We're gonna find out maybe Seth is going crazy or something, and they're just like, it's the Rusev, Lana, Lashley fucking thing that we're continuing from Raw from last week.
I know.
And you're like,
they should have known better, dude. But I think that. They still have an opportunity to handle it at some point, but I mean, it's just.
They're just going to let it go,
you know?
They just tabled it. They literally tabled it. They're like, you know, it was really, it's a really. They got the draft coming up. You had Hell in a Cell. So, like, it's weird booking. Like, you don't know where these guys are going to go. Maybe they didn't want to have Bray be the champion because he's going to SmackDown because Fox decided to pony up some more money for Bray or some shit. We don't know how these logistics work behind the scenes, you know? Like, maybe they wanted to keep, you know, maybe SmackDown doesn't want Fox, and they're like, we want Bray instead. So it's like, all right, so you don't know how this booking goes. But to fucking not give us anything on Raw, I sat around for fucking 3 hours. I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? Why am I watching this? They didn't even talk about it.
Listen, we're 8.5 minutes away from a full hour of Fiend talk. So,
all right, let's talk about SmackDown.
Well, we have two choices here. Should we go? Do you got eight? Should we go 8.5 more minutes of Fiend talk? Let's see. Do I have anything? Do I have anything? I want to be the wrestling podcast who talked the most about the Fiend.
I think that's it for me.
I think that's it for me. Ultimately, the question is, the last thing I'll say about the Fiend is, would you say, if someone said, do you like that match? Would you say yes or no?
Honestly, I would say yes, because I'm not afraid to say I liked it. And, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, if people want to say, oh, let's see, whatever they want.
I would,
at this
too.
Point, I enjoyed it.
The Fiend having the title is kind of a problem, unless they were going to give him the title and have him just hold it for like a full year.
Like, dude, it's on Fox, right? I'm watching the debut of Fox, and like the fucking way he debuted on Fox with the Shinsuke match, and like Shinsuke's in the middle of the ring, Seth is up on the stage, he's attacking him, throws him off the stage. Fucking sick. It's sick.
It's still sick.
Like, there's so much sick things. Don't let what they did do it. You know what? It's probably Vince's sick fucking mind to be like, fuck everybody. I'm going to shit on everybody just because I want to fucking end the week off with everybody talking about us, because there was nothing they were going to do that was going to get them everybody talking about how great WWE is. Zero. Nothing. Right. Not a single fucking thing. So you know what? Burn it fucking down.
Yeah.
They burned it down. They literally did. And they burned down the whole week, and they shit on the whole fucking awesome week. Just because they can. And you know what? It's crazy.
Let's talk about SmackDown. So SmackDown debuted on Fox, and I was hunting foxes. By the way, for the record, I was not. I had to go to my buddy's bachelor party, but we did watch it. I was in the most remote location I could possibly ever think of. And Staples was 8 miles from my house.
Dude, Dan, I mean, put some respect on it. You're calling him your buddy. And I mean, it's fucking Shabira, dude.
Oh, yeah. It's my best friend. And you guys know Shabira, too. He's on the show. I don't know why I did that. But shout out to Lauren Moran for making our Bachelor Club shirts.
Great. Official artist of the Comedians of Wrestling podcast.
Shout out Lauren Moran. She's the best artist. If you need an artist for anything, she probably doesn't even have time for you, but reach out anyway. She's the best. She made us the shirts of his face in the Bullet Club, Bachelor Club.
So good.
Yeah, check him out on my Instagram at Dan Bug Tag. You'll dig it.
I mean, you missed The Rock 8 miles away from your house.
I know. But anyway, I did watch the whole show. We got to talk about the thing that matters the most is, especially after that week in wrestling. We had Raw, yeah. we had NXT, we had AEW, and then we had SmackDown. And somehow the SmackDown entranceway blew my fucking mind. Was that a piece of art? I watched that and I was like, I literally just watching the pyro go off and the entrance ramp, I just go like, there's nothing better on television than pro wrestling.
And it wasn't just the entrance too, like that, just that. They got the Fox looks fucking sick.
Yes.
Sick. The fucking graphics. Charlotte's entrance, I almost lost my fucking mind. They had the the drizzle, the sparkles, like, well, holy drizzle, motherfucking shit.
Nothing better than drizzle pyro, which is Randy Orton when he first put his arm up. I just think about drizzle pyro. But the funny thing is, I remember, speaking of pyro, before I forget this,
yeah,
when Reigns come out, I was very able to watch it with a bunch of bros, you know.
Did you scream? Because I screamed.
Reigns came out and I just go, I'm like, guys, get ready for the best pyro of the night. Like, this guy's gonna, like, he's gonna punch the ground and it's gonna go fucking, like, and then it was, I was so right. No, yeah, he had the best pyro of anybody.
Yeah, legit. Like, it was so sick. And I loved it. I said it the other day. I forgot what else it was on. I don't know, whatever. Hell in a Cell, he got it too. And I was like, I was so excited to see him punch that fucking ground again. Because it was.
I love the punch the ground thing. I almost don't like anything about Roman Reigns at this point. Yeah. I just love that he's like kind of out of the way right now, but he'll be back soon. Let's just get into the main thing that matters. Brock Lesnar beats Kofi Kingston in what, 4 seconds, I want to say? Do we have an actual count?
I think it was 7 seconds.
Okay, big major squash. I mean, if you looked at how much time is left in the show, you knew it was going to happen. Brock comes out. I called it here last week. I said, you know, this was exactly what was going to happen. Brock was 100% going to win. All right, look, a lot of people are upset about this as well. My stance on this is simple. No one, you know what I'm going to say. No one is too good to job out to fucking Brock Lesnar.
Couldn't agree more.
John Cena did it. Sometimes Brock Lesnar gets you, and that's just the deal.
And it just really sucks that it happened to Kofi Kingston, because before that, Seth beats Brock twice, and then Brock, and then Kofi gets the result of that, and that really blows. It sucks.
It makes really, like, it kind of makes no sense, but really, whenever Brock's around, it always reminds me of, in my mind, originally it makes no sense, like, where you go like, oh, well, you know, Kofi's been so strong in his run, and Seth's been less strong, but Seth's able to somehow beat Brock, and then you start doing the math there, and when you take a step back, you got to remember, if you watch UFC, right? Like, it doesn't work like that. It's not like, because you can beat this guy, that means you automatically can beat that guy, because that guy that you beat could beat that guy. Like, sometimes there's bad matchups. This guy's got your number for whatever reason. So that you can't think linear like that. And also, in all real fightings, you can just get caught. I got caught. And that's,
One of the best matches that happened recently in UFC is Ben Askren versus Jose Masvidal. And Askren is undefeated going into this match, hasn't lost, and he's been talking all this shit, and Masvidal hits him right in the fucking head with the knee to start the match off out cold. You know, boom, it's over. It happens. And you know what? When it happens, it's really cool. It just really sucks it happened to Kofi.
Anyone get caught? Also, like, Kofi's going into a match against a guy he's never wrestled a guy this big. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. If you want to break it down, it's like Samoa Joe might be like pretty close to the same size as Brock, or like if you're talking about size, whatever, he might be like McIntyre clean. Orton's pretty close to the same size as Brock. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Brock is, you know, he's very wide and he has a lot of talents. But his strategy was like, oh, I'm going to throw my whole body at him. It's a risky strategy to throw yourself at your opponent, right?
Agree. Yeah,
we've seen it. Jose Aldo, Conor McGregor. He comes in, gets punched right away in the face.
I mean,
Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's strategy in UFC has always been the run in with the knees. He runs right at the guys, and he loses a lot.
And especially if his finisher, like, it's just really bad scouting by Kofi. Like, his finisher is to get you up on your shoulders and drop you on your fucking face.
he jumped into a
fireman's carry. No, asshole. Go for his legs or something, you know, like, there's got to be better than fuck, you know. But in that moment, you could tell this is the only benefit that comes from it, is that there's a really good redemption story there for Kofi now, you know, like, build his way back it's up again happening. And go. But it's done, right?
No, Kofi's going to drop very far down the card for a while. But I actually believe they're going to protect Kofi. Like, I think they're going to what I think they're going to do is they're going to, like, do what they do with AJ every time, which is like, all right, we're going to take the title off him. Let's give him the U.S. title. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they always are like, well, this guy's always a champion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that he'll get some kind of, like, Baron Corbin. Like, he'll be one of the guys who I think is kind of protected. Like, they'll think of good stories for him. You know what I mean?
I would love Kofi. I think as they've King
lost, I really believe they see a lot of value in Kofi now. I don't think it's a Jinder Mahal scenario, is what I'm saying.
No, yeah. And his run was so fucking good, man. It was really good.
It was great. Let's be real. Did we want him to beat Brock Lesnar? No.
I mean, no. I mean, at the same time, yes. I mean, I could have.
I wanted him to win. I would love it. And in the moment, I would cheer like crazy. But I'm saying, I meant more of like if you were a writer.
Right.
Then we lose Brock Lesnar, kind of. He loses to like a couple of small guys.
This is how it goes, though. Like, you know, it goes Kofi getting squashed to get Kane versus. Cain Velasquez to come out versus Brock at Crown Jewel, right? I mean, this is why Kofi lost his title, so these guys can make money.
Is that the match, Cain Brock? I mean, Crown Jewel. Is that booked?
Here's the thing: they have a major announcement on Friday for Cain Velasquez, Brock Lesnar, Tyson Fury, and Braun Strowman. You know that's Saudi Arabia cash checking fucking announcements.
Wow.
We're going to do it at Crown Jewel. You know, where else are you going to... It makes no sense anywhere else, right?
I mean, obviously I'm watching that. Guys, I don't know what to tell you anymore. I got no more protests left to be. They won. I've been beaten down to a pulp. I really want to watch
what Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar match looks like. You know,
I'm just going to be honest here. I'm watching that. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't like Saudi Arabia. I hate what they stand for. I hate the WWE does business with them. Again, I understand it. Again, like I've said it before, like, you know, I've never been in charge of a company and turned down 200. I've never thought about how that affects my employees to turn down $250 million when you're a publicly traded company. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think sometimes like people get on their high horse and it's kind of like, guys, we got to meet halfway here. Like you're turning down actual cash. You're taking money from a place. You're not giving it money. Right. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to get into it, like sometimes the government arms some of these places. The government sells weapons to some of these places. Anyway, whatever. The point is that I'm watching Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez. I mean, maybe talk me out of it. I don't know what to say, but I'm watching it.
I mean, if you didn't see it, because it's probably going to be on.
I already have the network. I already have it.
And if it's on, it's on Halloween. So if it ends up like you have something to do,
I'll do it in costume. And then it's not me.
Then it's not you.
I'll dress. I'll wear a MAGA hat.
I'll fake nose and mustache.
I'll dress up like a Clinton. Oh
yeah,
no!
That's a good.
What did you say, Jamie? Oh, guys, everybody, Jamie's chicken's here. She wanted everybody to know. By the way, I'm not going to say too much about this, but like working on Jamie's television show coming 2020. I'll promote it a bunch on here. I think it's going to be fucking awesome. One thing that we shot for the show is directly influenced by a WWE thing.
That's amazing.
Psych.
I wonder who had something to do with that.
There's all the info I'm saying. There was an inspo element that had some. So we got a little wrestling in there. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Here's the deal.
Fair enough.
So, all right. What were we talking about? Oh, Brock. Shit. So, look, people were like they did Kofi dirty. I think they did him dirty for a little bit because I just think he deserved. I think if you had to say it, he deserved to get a little fight in on Brock. If I had to say, I don't think we needed it to be that. I don't think we needed that.
I mean, what would a little fight have done? I mean, it really wouldn't have done anything.
But honestly, it would have done a little bit if he just like. AJ's beat him up a little bit. Daniel Bryan's able to beat him up a little bit. You know, Seth's able to beat him up a lot of bit. Braun Strowman's able to beat him up a little bit. Like, a lot of people are able to beat up Brock that are like, you know. So it's like, why can't Kofi couldn't get one, like, take out his knees a little bit, and then he makes the big mistake of that jump, and then he catches him and kills him? I think it would have even been better. You know,
instead of just like jumping at him, imagine if he came out and tried to hit him with a trouble in paradise. Like did.
All right. My dog's acting up. He wants some of the chicken. Are you guys following this saga?
God damn it, Dennis.
Dennis wants some of the chicken. Dennis the dog.
Duh. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. All right. What were you saying?
So, like, imagine if he went for Trouble in Paradise. Like, that would have been a cool way. Like, he went for his finisher in the first.
Yes.
And Brock just, like, kind of avoided it, stepped out of the way, picked him up, and dropped him. Like, don't just go and fucking jump on him. I mean, like, come on, man.
It made Kobe seem like kind of an idiot a little bit. It wasn't.
Maybe get one Trouble in Paradise but in again, and it doesn't knock him out.
Again, this goes back to the Fiend booking. Like, get Kofi getting done dirty also helps everyone still kind of dig him. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was going to lose no matter what. Losing that terribly, people are going to be like, oh, fuck this. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, and then they still like Kofi.
It looked... I'm just so impressed by how SmackDown looks.
So anyway, Cain Velasquez. So look, Cain Velasquez, I got to say, this guy, I don't know why he doesn't go to the gym.
Here we go.
I don't know why he doesn't go to the gym. He hasn't been to the gym since his UFC days. No, I know it's not true. That's just kind of his...
It's inevitable.
That's just his body type or whatever.
It's a bold strategy to just rip your shirt off and come down looking like that.
Well, he's definitely in worse shape than I've ever seen him.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen him with his shirt off in so long that
I haven't seen him since in shirt. Like yeah. he had the Brock fight, maybe like a couple of Dos Santos fights. I used to think he was the man. I was like, he's so excited.
He also wrestled in that AAA match with Cody. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that. He did a Hurricane Rana. I mean, look, let's just talk about the storytelling element and like kudos to WWE for actually like doing something cool. The whole Rey Mysterio story from going back to him like, oh, I'm going to fake retire. And then, I came back, come back just to get squashed by Brock and then bring in Rey to get his fucking. That's like really, really.
And it's his god. It's Dominic's godfather.
Yeah.
Like. What if that? I don't know if that's kayfabe or what, but like that's a cool like element. Like, yo, we got you know.
It's really good.
You mess with the wrong fucking family, you know.
Yeah.
Now you got to fucking pay. It's like some mob kind of shit. Like, oh, okay, you want to beat us up and go after our family? Well, we got someone in our family who's gonna fucking. Who's the one man that you're fucking scared of? You know, like what a coincidence! You fucking idiot, Brock. You thought you were coming down and fucking beating up these two little people? Like, nah, man. Now you gotta pay your fucking debt. You know.
Like, and I'm pumped for it because it is has some real elements there. So yeah, I think it's really cool.
We're the kind of marks that will find that like awesome. You know,
right.
there's not many people who were really entertained by it, but I'm a UFC fan. I think it's awesome. I just know that they're going to waste that crown jewel, but, you know, I'm still going to watch.
Is Cain signed? Is there any, like, thing about him?
No,
like,
I heard he's not signed. I heard it just might be one of these one-off things.
I feel like it's got to be, like, a one-off thing. I feel like Cain... From my memory, his personality is a dud, right?
I think so, yeah. I know in this... I'm not sure how real it is, but I this is what I heard. And sometimes you hear these things and it's true, but I heard Cody at the New York Comic Con said that like they were interested in signing Cain Velasquez. And then he showed up, you know, that day on that Friday, cause they were at Comic Con that day on Friday. And then that Friday night he showed up like there. So it's kind of like, you know, it's cool. That's cool. That's fun. That never happened before. You know, like it's a new like kind of thing that like exists, you know, like, oh, there's this guy out there who wrestles and now there's like bidding wars and shit on some wrestler. Yeah. You know,
speaking of Brock, my buddy, friend of the show, Ted at Wrestling for Sale. He's been on the pod before. Great guy. You got to check out his Instagram at Wrestling for Sale. Okay. He got a picture with Brock Lesnar.
Oh,
that
my God.
Is mind blowing.
And Paul Heyman.
The Paul Heyman one, fine. Paul Heyman is like, he takes pictures of people. He's cool. This Brock picture, it's Brock, like a perfectly showered groomed Brock after his match in like nice clothing for him, right?
Yeah.
Looking in the camera with like perfectly posed with the title, smiling.
Smiling.
Dude, can you believe it?
After he just won the title.
Yeah.
That's not normal. I can't imagine that's normal. I think I heard someone tell a story. Like, he was, like, walking out of there, and someone was like, all right, we got to do your media shoot. And Heyman was like, well, do it in Vegas. And Brock's like, we're going to Vegas? And he's like, yeah.
That was Newman said that. By the way, happy birthday to Alex Newman and Aaron Fanner.
And Drake Mills is on Sunday, too. It's a very
a lot of Jabroniacs birthday. Happy birthday to you guys out there. Newman, who fucking is away for his birthday and couldn't be on the pod this week, which is a bummer because he was backstage at SmackDown last week.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't believe I forgot it was him who told me. I'm just, my brain is.
Where are you at backstage? I am actually not interested in it, really.
I think it's cool just to be back there to see all these things that are going on, but like, I think that's where Newman was like really conflicted on, like, is it cool to take pictures or is it not? Like, you know, you don't want to bother these people. Like, you know, for the super marks and like these like fanboys, it's like they're going to go up to everybody and just ask for autographs and take pictures. But for like people who know, you know, I go to a lot of indie shows and I see these, I took a picture with Orange Cassidy because I think that's fucking awesome. And he's there, you know, that's what he wants to do in the indie
first
scene.
First of all,
taking
a picture of wrestlers is mad cool. I would do that in a second. I want pictures of wrestlers. I don't want to see them breaking kayfabe. This is what I'm talking about.
That's what it's all about. That's what you're conflicted
I told
over.
You when I hung out with Becky Lynch, there was part of me that did not enjoy it. I was like,
yeah, because she was so nice.
She was a heel at the time. And there was a part
of
me.
That's what's kind of cool. Yeah, that's what's kind of cool about like hearing the stuff about MJF. It's just like, you know, he's always a dick, you know, no matter when he, like where he is and shit. And it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Hold on. Text him with a note.
Uh-oh. What is he saying? It's giving you headaches.
He's, I don't know, he might be in Canada, who knows. Becky was very cool, but I really like seeing, like, you know, I don't want to see the fucking Mickey with the mask off. You know what I mean?
I got you.
But I do want the pictures. Like, I want to take a picture with the wrestlers. You know what I mean?
You would have shit your pants if you would have been able to take that picture with Brock Lesnar. You would shit your pants.
Honestly, it would be mounted. Brock Lesnar is a fucking hero. Whenever he has the title, he looks amazing. I don't know. I love Brock Lesnar. I think he's the best.
He's just going to be perfect on Fox as the champ.
He's the fucking man. He's one of the best wrestlers ever. Get out of here. Anyway, let's talk about, speaking of best wrestlers ever, The Rock shows up on SmackDown.
And oh my God,
Look, we talk about The Rock. What can you say? What can't you say? I mean,
he's got like a whole new charisma about him too. You know, it's just like this winking into the camera now. It's just like, God, like I was laughing out loud and just, I was like in love. I felt like I was in love. I was like, oh my God, it's The Rock. Oh, he's the best. And he just nailed it. And dude, the guy hasn't been in the ring in how long? And he just comes out and cuts a fucking promo off the cuff, no problem, gets Becky over, dude.
But Becky Lynch, I feel like I want to say that I actually think not Friday, I actually think Sunday, Hell in a Cell was the day where I was like, Becky Lynch is locked in as like just one of the best of all time ever to do the thing. Where I was like she really is like, she's the number one. She's the number one.
All the things she needed to
do. I don't know
to
say. I don't know the number one what, no. But I was like, she fucking, like, she,
she's
I know
the face
she's
of the company.
She's the face of the company. She's been figuring it out. Like, it's always been like a thing where I'm like, I know this is good, but it's always like a little off. Like, and kudos to Sasha Banks for bringing it out in her.
Yeah.
You cannot negate Sasha in that
that's
way.
That's the one. That's it right there, dude.
But Becky in the Cell, her outfit was amazing.
Sick.
I was like, that's the outfit you wear. She had the cuts perfectly down. She looked fucking awesome. She looked so confident. And the match was like a great match.
Yeah, it was sick.
Like I was like real into that match. And it was like they were doing some badass spots. And I was just like, man, Becky Lynch, you cannot argue with Becky Lynch. She's earned her fucking stripes.
There's nothing, literally zero.
Fully clicked in.
Yeah, like everything, you're like, oh, she needs to fix her outfit. Boom, fix her outfit. She's a little slow in the ring. She needs to pick it up in the ring. She's fucking killing it now. She's like, her moveset, everything's quicker. She was always like a little slow. man, I'm telling you, whether it's working out with Seth, doing the CrossFit stuff, I don't know what it is, but she's like real solid. Everything looks intense and strong. She's nailed her look, her persona. She's able to go toe-to-toe with The Rock. To open up Fox.
With the great one. I mean, but wait, yeah. toe-to-toe is definitely an exaggeration. No one touches The Rock. I mean,
she held her own, man. Like, that's supposed to be, that's the spot, dude. Like, that's the spot that every wrestler wants to be in. There's no other spot. You know, you can main event WrestleMania, good, great, grand. You know, but when you're in
good,
the ring.
Great, grand.
What's that from? Good, great,
grand. I think it's Tommy Boy. Or is it Billy Madison when he's like getting the bus? But it is Chris Farley.
He's getting on the bus. When he's the other kid. But no, like that's it, dude. I mean, like it's true. Are we a Billy Madison and Adam Chris Farley podcast?
Billy Madison's so funny.
Yeah.
See, sorry, you brought it up. I just think about it.
I
drew the duck blue because I'd never seen a blue duck. That's it.
And hey, sideburns, you want some of this milk?
Yeah, great.
Oh. Dude, everybody's peeing
in their pants. Yeah. All right, yeah, go. You go.
It's just awesome.
Your pants is the coolest.
I'm looking at her right now. She's on the blue carpet, Becky Lynch, on a suit and tie, and she looks insane.
Well, hey, can we compare that to Bayley for a second?
Yeah.
look at this. Just makes me. When I see a wrestler sometimes, I just want to be like, you need to go home. You know, you need to go home and think about what's going on here. Look at the Fox red carpet, the blue carpet.
Yeah, I didn't even see what she looked like.
Bailey standing with Sasha, and Sasha isn't like the fucking straight up like full boss gear, like the most macho king outfit you could think of. I mean, there might be, my guess is, I have to guess there's 20,000 jewels on this outfit. I want to say 20,000.
Yeah. All hand sewn by her husband.
Her husband, yeah, the poor guy.
Yes. More jewels.
And then Becky, Bailey's next to her in just like black fucking BCBG dress. Like, it has nothing to do with her gimmick. It's like, just Bailey in like a dress. Look at it. Do you see it?
It was funny.
Like, what are you doing?
I saw Bailey like in videos after the Fox premiere or whatever the fuck it was. Yeah. And she was out partying in like a backwards hat to like stupid, like, you know, mute, like punk rock, like music, like acting like a kid. I'm like, oh, this is Bailey. Like, I would enjoy Bailey much more if this was how she acted, like a little shit eating teenager, fucking annoying piece of shit friend to Sasha Banks. You know, like, that's it. Bitch, the fucking blow it all up. It's time.
Blow it all up. All right, let's head blow over. Anything? You got anything merch corner? You hitting any merch? Or you're on a merch freeze right now?
I'm on a merch freeze right now. I've decided to pull back. I have so much gear. I'm really just waiting for like cool pieces that I like. And it's very tough, man. Let me tell you, when something spicy comes out and I say no to it, it's not easy, dude. It's really not. And everybody else is ramping up their merch game. Like, people are buying shit left and right.
Well, you want to hear what my next item is? Oh yeah,
yes, saying? I can. Oh yeah, come on.
My next item is I'm gonna get that that Rock chalk line.
The fucking
one that looks like one of his $5,000 shirts.
The Versace shirt.
I love it because it's kind of ugly, which is, that's one of my boxes that's be checked. I like my merch to be nice and trashy.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Do you own a, do you have a new chalk line jacket though? I don't know if they're different.
I only have the Ultimate Warrior one from like the, like 92 or something.
Bro, I rock the Undisputed Era one to whatchamacallit, to Comic-Con, and people were like losing their minds over it. It was like a huge hit. That jacket, and it's so comfortable.
I need to get the Rock one.
Wait until whatchamacallit. You can hold off. Black Friday. They usually run a pretty sick deal on Black Friday.
Really?
Yeah. I was going to get the Seth one last year because it was like cheap. It was like $80, but I just fucking didn't do it with the 30%
off.
But yeah. I think
I want to get an Undisputed hoodie at some point, but I got burned by the fucking the Fiend hoodie. It's so bad.
Right. What about like, oh my God, you haven't seen it. The new Moxley.
Can I talk
hoodie?
About that last week? The Fiend hoodie? How it fits terribly?
Yeah, you said it was like cut like for the Fiend.
Yeah. That's what I said. Oh, dude, yeah. See, I am funny. That is funny.
Oh my God. You haven't watched AEW and NXT. You're going to really, really love it. But Moxley has a new hoodie. You're going to buy that hoodie. Guarantee it.
Okay, here's the 100%. Thing. I saw Moxley enter. He did like a Goldberg entrance, but I didn't see the match yet. And I was like, well, you know what? That's fucking cool. Someone is due to just steal that, right?
And then he
looked awesome. And like, as the guy who shits on Ambrose the most, I was like, he looks cool.
He rocked the trunks.
Yeah, I love on. You know, I love on these.
Oh, bro, you're gonna lose your fucking mind when you watch AEW.
You're too far. You gotta calm down. Put your head in the sink, bro. Put your head in the sink.
No. Let me mark out. Because listen, I've been.
We'll do a preview of the Patreon app. It comes out on Friday morning.
So there's two things I still want to talk about. One is let me just like mark out a little bit because everybody says I've been critical about AEW. One of the points I used to counter the Bray finish was, hey, well, guess what? Fucking John Moxley came down last week in AEW and interrupted a 6-man tag match, dragged Kenny Omega out of the ring, and DDT'd him on a fucking coffee table, and no one fucking said shit. That's a disqualification.
Everyone was like, yeah, that's
okay?
Where a coffee table goes. In the arena.
Everyone's like, that's cool.
Why is there a glass coffee table in an arena?
So the double standard is so fucking funny, right, when it comes to that shit. So yeah. I'll be honest. I've been like, all right, last week's AEW really didn't blow me away. I was like, but I'm going to give this time. That's the line. You got to give it time. It's just starting. It's gone. This week, fucking AEW was sick. I had the double rig set up, both volumes on.
Oh, Wednesday night rig?
Yeah. So, humble brag, 70-inch TV I had NXT on.
Wow.
Yeah, 42-inch TV I had fucking AEW on. Wow. It really,
oh, so
honestly,
for you, it's a matter of inches. It's who.
It's a matter of inches.
So right now you have the 42 and the 70, right? So that's I can't do that math, but I think that's 28-inch differential. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So right now it's AEW won the week this week. Next week they go on the 70.
They do. Yes. Because last week NXT won the week. Right now, this isn't sliding NXT. This week NXT was really fucking good too. Really good matches. I don't know how they do it. Every title on NXT is relevant right now, and they're somehow also building like number one contender matches for the mid cards and stuff too. It's sick.
Well, the weird thing is, like, I'm so much more excited to watch AEW than NXT. Even though last week I probably liked the NXT show more.
Right. Well, at the same time, like, I've also been watching like NXT every week. I run the threads. I'm so into it. I know the storylines. I'm like, now, like, it's on live TV. So it's like, I'm investing in it. I'm doing it. But like what AEW did this week, when you're going to fucking scream when you see Jericho and hear this promo. No, scream.
We got to wrap
you're
this
gonna,
up because I got to watch this.
Okay,
we'll keep going.
So that's all. I'm just marking out because you know what? I got to give credit when credit's due, and I'm a very honest and humble person when it comes to this. AEW blew me away this week, and I am.
Well, here's why I knew it was going to be good.
The Wednesday night
because
wars
they established the
real.
Jericho stable. Like,
oh my
I knew
God,
when
dude.
They did that at the end of last week, I said it ended well. And then this week, I was like, oh, Jericho has a whole posse, and then their Instagram account, it set that up. You know what I mean?
Just,
I was like,
just. Fucking wait, dude. It's you know what AEW I realize is AEW is like the American version of New Japan wrestling. Like, you know all that stuff that you can't get into New Japan because it's overseas.
That's
and you
what
don't
I was
know
just about
it.
To say, yeah,
dude. It I heard you kind of say it, and I thought of it earlier today. Like after watching this week, I'm like, holy shit.
Well, like my mind, like New Japan is like, I'm like, not like, I always have like, when I wasn't watching New Japan, I always felt like a lot of guilt. I'm like, fuck, I gotta be watching. And then I'll watch and I'll catch up. I'll check, watch an Ospreay match, check out what Okada's up to, check into the G1, try to understand how the G1 works. Never success, never succeed. And then, but now with AEW, I'm like, oh, you know, New Japan's a thing I'm just not gonna be into.
You know, they're following the New Japan blueprint with like so much, like the entrances, like the volume.
The New
is
Japan
in ways.
That made sense. It's the New Japan plan.
It's the New Japan.
They're following the New Japan.
It can't make any more sense, but like it really is, and like the tag matches are absolute chaos. There are no rules of tag matches. What I've learned in AEW, and guess what? New Japan is the same way.
I love it's that. We've argued about that. I love it because it makes the Bucks able to just do their thing, and I just want to see the Bucks do their thing.
There's a happy medium, you know.
And sometimes they do stuff that's a little too goofy and telegraphed. It's like, oh, we're all going to stand here, and then it's they're all going to jump. But you know,
so that's what happened in the 8-man tag match in AEW Dark. They had like Lucha Bros, I think the Bucks, Private Party, and Angelico, and whatever the fuck they are, the Lava Lamp Boys, and it was like, all right, we're gonna come into the ring, super kick, jump out the ring, and everything's going on. You're like, this isn't even a fucking match; it's just a stunt show, you know. But it transitioned better into the show tonight, and it's sick.
That's cool. I think Private Party is a really whack name for a tag team. I think you should go Bottle Service.
Bottle Service is pretty cool too. They did something cool with their entrance tonight, which like kind of made it fun.
It's like Private Party. It's like we're a private party. It's not, I kind of think about like, oh, we're just closed for a private party tonight. Like it doesn't. It's like
they need to. If like, they're gonna call themselves that, they gotta ramp it up big time. I need security. I need no one getting near them. I need girls coming in to like hang out with them and stuff. Yeah. Like you're gonna be Private Party. You got to be fucking Private Party. Like, you got to turn it all the way up. And then the last thing I want to talk about is, dude, I'm a total Divas Market. That show is fucking electric.
Wait, no.
And I know.
No, you're.
Are you?
You're a total Divas Mark.
I'm a total Divas Mark. Yeah. Like, we were doing live threads on Tuesday nights now. I'm fucking. Fuck.
Well, that's
so
on the Facebook page. You got to join the Facebook page. But honestly, I mean, that's crazy. I've watched Total Divas before. I enjoy it. I mean, now that Ronda's on it, I'm pretty inclined to check it out.
if you loved Ronda before, you're going to love her now. Like, she really dives into her personal life. Well, she's got a farm. She got a farm. She talks about like growing up and the thing, all the struggles in her life and the things that she went through that like got her to where she is today. It's like really, really awesome to see. But then you flip the fucking script and you're getting like all this behind the scenes like drama that's going on at like the shows, Royal Rumble and fucking, whatever that other fucking cage show was, Elimination Chamber. And like, you're getting work the whole entire time. You know you are, but you're so fucking, it's crazy, dude. And it's very entertaining. I highly recommend it. Join us on Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, Ani. Let's go.
I mean, I can't believe we had time for that, but let's go into my top five. You want to hear the top five?
Oh, yes.
All right. Donnie's top fives?
So Donnie's top five, is that what we called it? Donnie's
I don't know. I've never given it a name.
Donnie Capri's top five-es. okay, so this is through Hell in a Cell or Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Okay, go. I want to hear.
Okay.
You start at one, right?
We'll start at five.
Okay.
I've been starting at one, which was just makes no sense, but yeah. Number five, coming in at five. The Rock, a non-active wrestler, not even active. And by the way, let me remind everybody how my top fives work. There is no rubric. This is just all feels, baby. This is what I'm choosing. And so anyone who's upset, like, oh, I don't like this ranking system, like, just relax. It just makes no sense.
Just to piss some of the haters off, because we got a little bit of that all people do on the pod is agree with you. I'm going to agree with you here and say that is completely justified because the numbers
Wait,
are
Wait, I
fucking,
saw that. No, yeah. I saw that. I was like, oh, that's funny.
No, it's funny. It's funny because it, you know, but the number, it's completely justified. He, because he showed up and it was on Fox, Those numbers were through the fucking roof. It was more than all the shows combined the whole entire week. Like, they, yeah. The Rock deserves it, dude. I completely can defend that to the moon and back.
Number five, The Rock.
Yeah.
All right. Number four, Chris Jericho. Keeping him at number four. I have not seen AEW, by the way. It sounds like I might be moving him up.
Very, all the way to the top, probably.
Okay, well, we'll see. I haven't seen it yet, but this is just based on... I've moved him down a little bit because I felt like his AEW... I felt like this is based on the first step of AEW. I felt like he didn't do that much, really. But
right.
Yeah, and but he's still a strong showing. Not enough to fall off the list. All right. Number three.
Roman's pyro.
You know what? I should start doing more abstract stuff too. I think you're right. I think you're right. I'm gonna make an adjustment on the fly because of this. Okay, ready?
The SmackDown set should be.
That's
like up
what
there.
I'm gonna do. Okay.
Because the only reason why I'm saying this is because literally Roman's pyro on the SmackDown set just happened.
I'm bumping Jericho to number six. Number four, the SmackDown entrance set. Is number four, okay?
Wait, why'd you bump Jericho down to six? Because you can't put Rock to six?
No, because I think the 3-2-1 spot is locked in.
Okay, fine.
All right. Number three.
Yeah.
The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
Fair enough.
He still did great work, and I think you can't blame him for that booking. He still did a fucking great job. There's no way that character is leaving the top five right now. That's just the deal.
Fair enough.
Number two, Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
Brock Lesnar. Yeah, do I need to say anything? Brock Lesnar. He's Brock Lesnar.
When I put up a top five like on Friday, I wasn't trying to infringe on your gimmick. I think it's just
everyone's allowed to get into top five. Maybe
I think it's a very good limit. It's a really important thing now. Like, it's hard because that five spot, like I cheated a little bit and went, you know, Cole and, you know, whoever it was on five. Cole and Jericho on five. I slid it in. You can get six to tie for five. But
sometimes I do ties in the five spot.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's okay. I don't know where I was going with this. Brock Lesnar, you were like number one. But like for him not being like at Hell in a Cell and then not Monday Night Raw, it kind of loses a little bit of his mojo from everything that he did. So, yeah, number two, cool with it. I agree with you.
I had him number one last week because he stole the week.
Yeah, he really did. With the Dominic stuff and then the squash, sick.
Guys, so just to fill you in before we do the number one spot. There's a little chicken left over.
Oh, sick.
And Jamie, there's one. How much is left? Let the people know.
One wing.
Yeah.
Half a biscuit.
Ooh.
A quarter of a breast.
Okay.
And that's it.
It's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah, leave it out for me. I'll eat that. Okay.
That's not bad, dude.
Okay.
What'd she yell?
Dennis.
Oh, he's being pissed because you're locked in the room, right?
Well, he's trying to get the chicken. I'm in the office. I'm trying to get done. I'm trying to do work here. Okay.
All right. Number one.
I mean, this is no surprise.
Yeah.
The man, Becky Lynch.
You know what was cool? We didn't talk about it, but on her promo on Raw, I think she cut. What was it? Miz TV or something? Where he was interviewing them, and he's like, "You're on the cover of, you know, you're in the commercials, on the cover, on the magazine, all this, I'm rattling off on stuff." And you're like, "Oh shit, Becky Lynch is the fucking, you know, it's official. Becky Lynch is the face of the company. She's doing everything for WWE. She 100% deserves the spot. She kills it.
Jamie, what are you doing? Hold on, we're trying to end the podcast here. Jamie, what are you doing? What? There's been an incident?
He chewed this, and it was a full bottle, and it's on your side of the bed.
What do you?
Really?
Yeah.
My dog, all right, everyone, listen. My dog got a full bottle of water, chewed it on my side of the bed, and now my bed is soaking wet.
Full
Oh, Dennis.
Looks like I'm sleeping on the couch tonight, folks.
Yeah.
You heard it here second.
No, he's like,
Dennis, get out of here. All right, this is unprofessional. Guys, you got to support us on Patreon. We need it. I need a proper rig here. I just lost my bed. I mean, come on. Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Becky Lynch, the man at number one. And with that, Tulo, I just want to say, I want to say fuck you, goodbye. With all the wrestling we watched this week, we covered like three things. That's how nuts the wrestling is right now. There's so much, and that is why we have the Patreon episode. So we got to talk about AEW. The way we like to cover stuff, we need a little more time. Check us out. We're going to be talking about AEW Dynamite. That'll be coming out late Thursday night. Available Friday morning, and we'll be talking about NXT.
I'm so excited. I cannot, Dan, honestly, I've never been more excited for you to watch anything.
Really?
I'll send you Instagram things and whatever, things to watch, or like, oh, this match was cool.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I know what your thing is, and you're going to fucking lose. Chris Jericho has reinvented himself once again, and this might be the culmination and the best version he's ever had.
I will say, so when I was at the bachelor party, I showed we had to drive pretty far, and we were like showing each other videos, and I showed everybody Jericho, the little bit of bubbly, but the full video of him walking in the back with the title, and everybody was cracking up. Like, he was so killing. He'd just be like, what are you, idiot? What are you looking at, you idiot? Yeah. Fucking butt, dude, stupid hair.
Wait. It's amazing. And it's funny that you say that, because right now is like the best time to get your friends like back into wrestling and show them shit. Like, all I had to do was, my one friend actually just got a job for WWE, and I was like, yo, dude, you're going to be working there. I know you haven't been into it, but you should watch it. It will make you a better employee at WWE. He's doing like digital content and stuff. And, I showed him, I said, put on Matt Riddle versus Adam Cole. And he was like, holy shit, this is awesome. And then he was watching SmackDown. The Rock was on.
Right.
It's so easy to get people back into wrestling right now. Show them the stuff. Like this is, it's the best time ever. It's so, I had to teach someone what being a Mark is, you know? It's like.
Marketry is in full effect. All right. In the non-wrestling wrestling corner,
yeah.
I just want to say I did it. I'm obsessed with Steve Perry, the ex singer of Journey. I've pitched that we need a gimmick of his and thing. Listen, if you got time and you're like feeling like going down a YouTube dip, just watch some live Journey from like 81. I want to say,
all right,
and just watch this guy. This guy. I think it's harder for him to speak than sing. Like, this guy is such a credible performer, and is just fucking check him out. It's and he looks kind of like a doofus. It's just he's very unfunny, but he's very. Just check it out.
I went down a whole dip
just being like, I'm in heaven. I was just dancing. I'm just dancing to be like, this is my element. And I'm so inspired. Every time I watch something like that, like a performer, I'm always like, how do I bring this into wrestling? You know?
Yes. Yeah.
And I still think we need that wrestler like a Swayze, like a guy who just like knows how to treat a lady. You know what I mean? Yeah. I still think we need that wrestler. Maybe I do a hybrid there. It's kind of like...
Yeah, who could do it? I don't even know. I can't get into all that. I'm like, my brain is... Dude, there's so much, man.
Anyway, guys, I feel like we got to end it here. We'll talk again tomorrow night. I'm going to literally go put on AEW right now. But everybody... shit, dude.
What happened?
We don't have enough time for Hoobastank. I found time for Steve Perry.
Show me what it's worth.
No, there's no time. Stop it. There's no time. Everybody,
I've
listen.
I've been crawling in the dark, looking for the answers.
And that's the only thing we've only covered crawling in the dark really on this episode. On this pod, we haven't got far enough to really dip into their catalog.
Have you ever seen Hoobastank live?
I don't have time to. We'll have to talk about that on another episode because that's a really long story. That's a really long story.
Listen, this is great. Just tune into the Patreon episode, and we promise you, like we promised, we were going to review Blockers, and like we promised you, we were going to have the
Done the Blockers app yet?
Never done the Blockers, and you know, I was going to say it. You're like, all right, next week we're going to start the regular schedule for the pod.
I know.
We said it for 4 weeks straight.
The thing is that the next schedule does start next week. Okay, does start next week. We had people out of town and some issue with the studio time, and then our schedules changing all of it for wrestling. It's fucking hard. There's a lot of wrestling, and they have to be prepared for these episodes. And
in the meantime, you get me.
And then it turns out it's Aaron and Anosha's and Aaron and Newman's birthday on the same day. And these,
oh my god,
and they celebrate their birthdays hard. So anyway, look, whatever. What are we gonna do? Okay, these bronies.
I mean,
I love them both. Great. They're a bunch of great folks. Okay, folks. Starting next week, Patreon episode will come out Friday morning. I'll cover AEW Dynamite and NXT Dynamite. NXT Dynamite and AEW Dynamite. comes out Wednesdays on your way to work. And that'll cover more WWE centric.
We're ending this pod the same way we started it off.
Yo, I forgot how bad the beginning of this pod is. Whatever. Whatever.
I'll talk to you later.
Go listen to a podcast that's perfectly produced. These guys got nothing on us content wise. These guys are like, oh, well, excuse me. Here's the reason they sent a 5-star match, sir.
Can you believe how they ended that Hell in a Cell with a no contest?
I didn't like that they had the red light in the ring there. I was trying to watch the Hell in a Cell, and there's too much of a red light.
It was blinding me.
You're like, no, it's fucking some guy. Like that day, Vince is like, go get a red light. I want that ring red. And I love thinking about, I'm going to watch it, the kayfabe. It's like, why is it red? Like, it's clearly just a light bulb, but it's like, no, the Fiend can't be in regular lighting. Or like, it's like, he sent his henchmen to Home Depot to pick up some red bulbs.
He went to Michael's to get the red saran wrap to cover all the lights in.
Yeah, and then like when the fiend lifts his head up, and you're like, that's his spandex chin strap that keeps the mask on.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude, do me a favor, just text me like while you're watching AEW, because there's so many things I need you're gonna lose your mind off of. Yeah. And with that being said. Fuck you.
I'm is coming out next week at about this time, and I can't listen. I don't know what I'm doing. This is the worst pod we've ever done. This is the worst.
All right. I've been trying to end it for you for like fucking 10
anyway,
minutes.
Everybody, thanks for listening. Go support the show. I need support in more ways than one. Patreon.com. Pick up a shirt. Rate us 5 stars instantly. What's the big deal? It's charity at this point. It's nice. And spread the word. Tell people about the podcast. And hey, Tulo, thanks for sticking around. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. Anyway, okay, hey, everybody, good. Cheers up. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen on
Wednesday.
When I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.